This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Thursday, April 6, 2023, Maundy Thursday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May God have mercy upon us and bless us. May He cause the light of His countenance to shine upon us.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. You should always, and I'm sure everyone is, attentive to the readings for the day. We should be attentive to everything that is said in Mass, the way the Mass starts. Those words that I just read, they are from Psalm number 67. 66, if you use one of the older versions of the scriptures. May God have mercy upon us and bless us. May He cause the light of His countenance to shine upon us. Those words from the psalm are an echo from Numbers chapter 6, where God, speaking through Moses, says, "Tell Aaron and the priest, thus shall you bless the children of Israel. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord show His face to thee and have mercy on thee. The Lord turn His countenance to thee and give thee peace." There's a continuity. The Bible doesn't repeat things because it just needs to fill in some space. Space is very limited in there. The Holy Spirit speaks very specifically at what He wants us to understand. When there are repetitions, we need to pay very, very close attention to them. And this repetition lays the foundation. This is why it's the first prayer that we hear sung at this Mass. Is because it is an echoing of what God always wants for us. He always wants us to understand of His mercy, the blessings that He pours out upon us, and He always wants to know that He causes His light to shine upon us. He shows His face to us. This is why we hear these things repetitively. This is why this Mass opened with these words. This is why we should pay careful attention to everything that is said or sung at Mass. This is the Mass of the Lord's Supper. This is where we see the fruition of that blessing that God spoke to the people of Israel, that He spoke through the psalmist, and that He speaks to us every time we gather together for Mass. We are the church. We are the Israel of God, thus saith Galatians chapter 6. We have to appreciate the fact that what we have are what they spoke about. This is the Lord's Supper. This is the Eucharist. The Eucharist, as we are all well aware, should be that it is the source, center, and summit of our faith. Everything in our faith radiates from and leads back to the Eucharist, every single thing. Every sacrament that we have seven sacraments. Six of them we receive objectively, the graces of our Lord Jesus Christ, ex opere operato. We receive them because of what these sacraments are. In the Eucharist, we just do not receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We receive our Lord Jesus Christ. We receive Him. We don't just receive graces. We receive Him. We do not gather together to ponder what was done in history. This is why it is such a travesty that the holy sacrifice of the Mass is presented in our day in a lot of places as if it's nothing more than just a reenactment of the Lord's Supper where we all come up and we all partake of the supper. That is not what it is. That is the vehicle that our Lord Jesus Christ used to institute the sacrament of His body, blood, soul, and divinity, and it is all focused on His sacrifice. This is the Lord's Supper. This is the Eucharist. This is the Holy Sacrifice. When we appreciate that, all of a sudden our faith takes on a reality. It takes on an objectivity that we don't have if we just look at things as a, you know, the Mass of the Lord's Supper. This is where we remember that Jesus instituted the supper. It's not a matter of remembering that he instituted. It's a matter of rejoicing in the fact that we have it now. It never ceases. He instituted it so that we could partake of it. We weren't there then. The apostles were. There were people who saw him crucified. It was over 2,000 years ago. We are here. We are now. We still participate as really as they did because of the Eucharist. This is when that psalmist said, the light of his countenance, his face, it literally shines on us in the Eucharist. The Lord shows us his face in the Eucharist. We have something to see. We have something to touch. We have something to take within ourselves. This is what's going on in the Eucharist. Not some vague reenactment of a historical event, but a reality that we should rejoice at every single time we come to enjoy the fruits of his sacrifice for us. That psalm, it speaks of echoing God's desires for us. He wants us to embrace those desires, but not just embrace in a sense of, again, remembering cognitively, but to understand that there is a continuity of what he established and what we've said. And should the Lord tarry 2,000 years from now, people will be enjoying the fruits of his sacrifice. Through what? The Eucharist. This is why things are supposed to be presented the same today, yesterday, forever. Because it's our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is how he is. That is a characteristic of his being. He's eternal. And his truth is eternal. And we need to look at it like that. And when we look at these words from the Psalm, from Psalm 67, may God have mercy upon us, bless us, may he cause his light of, the light of his countenance to shine upon us. It's interesting, this is not the only Mass where that Psalm starts off the Mass. The other one is the Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. Very interesting. The Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. Something as momentous. How many adjectives can you think about how glorious the Eucharist is, how tremendous it is to participate in what our Lord did for us and to bear the fruit of that? The Solemnity of the Blessed Mother is, as it is expressed in one of the liturgical books, it is that particular psalm is used to celebrate that through her has come God's greatest blessing, our Lord Jesus Christ, and to have her intercede with him to continue to bless us. And I have used the word, and will continue through this whole homily, about continuity, about continuing. This is what we live, and what we should live our faith. As that commentator said, the incarnation that we have, that we experience, not that we think about and learn about, you know, of course, meditation is fine, contemplation is fine, but to appreciate the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ through the incarnation. When we go through Christmas and all the nativity, we think about Bethlehem. This is why when we contemplate things, St. Ignatius Loyola emphasizes the utmost of importance is to engage our imaginations in things. Not just that, oh, that was really neat that God came down and clothed himself in flesh and was born in a manger. Let us move on. No. You contemplate it. You think, what was a manger like? What did it smell like? Picture yourself. Are you right up close? Are you far away? Memory is one thing, and we need to engage it, but to appreciate the fact that the one that laid in Bethlehem is the same one that you will receive on your tongue at the altar rail this evening, if you are properly disposed. If you're properly disposed to do that, then it's not a matter of cognitive recollection of Bethlehem. It is participation in Bethlehem. This is the incarnation. God's greatest blessing to us continues, not just something we think about. And then our Lord, the incarnate God who dwelt among us, he institutes on this day the Eucharist. When he instituted the Eucharist at the Last Supper, we hear nothing but talk of betrayal and suffering and the necessities that he's going to have to endure over the next few days. These necessities are the foundation for when he is resurrected. And right before he ascends into heaven, when he gives the church the Great Commission, he says, "Behold, I am with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world." Until this place burns up, which it will, different story for a different day, but it will, as long as it's here, our Lord's promises, "I will be with you all days." Every single day, every moment. It's troubling for me. It should be disconcerting for every Catholic that on Good Friday, after this evening, there is not a Mass celebrated on the face of this planet. Not one. Not a Mass is celebrated. We need to appreciate what we have every year. This is the one time a year when it's a little bit of an appreciation of what we have in the Eucharist. But the fulfillment of that promise, "I am with you always, even to the end of the ages," this is a reality for us if we focus on the institution of the Eucharist. This is one of the blessings that we receive through the fiat of our Blessed Mother. Another one is penance. The disassociation of penance, this is particularly sad. I was reading some stuff today, get ready for this. All right, in the Middle Ages, on Holy Thursday, there were three Masses celebrated. Three Masses. One in the morning that was celebrated to celebrate the institution of the sacrament, the Mass of the Lord's Supper. The second one was the Chrism Mass that was celebrated by the bishop. The third one was the restoration of public penitence. An entire Mass was said, and people were brought into the church who had done public penance. I hazard to get, you probably will not hear about penance in the vast majority of places today, but it used to be so integral that a Mass was celebrated for the restoration of public penitence. Most people, what's a public penitent? They have no concept of that anymore. A public penitent was somebody, you did something good enough. Yeah, everybody, okay, you're read Psalm number 6, read Psalm number 130 three times, whatever the penance may be. How do you like this? Would go in there, would drop the bomb in there and go, "Okay, your penance is to go out and sit on the steps of the church for the next 6 months with a sign around your neck that said what you did and why you cannot come into church and receive the Eucharist." That was public penance. And it was frequent. It was so frequent that we had a Mass on a particular day, Holy Thursday, to restore those who had to sit with their and not come into church. And if they did come into church and were allowed, they were asked to leave or the liturgy of the Eucharist. They could hear liturgy of the word, but not liturgy of the Eucharist, just like a catechumen. They had to leave. Well, like I said, we don't hear about that anymore. Most people don't know what a public penitent is. And it's not for lack of public sin. Again, different story for a different day. There is public sin that we just can't describe, but nobody is called to do public penance for that sin. That's sad. Because penance, the sacrament of penance, is another one of these continuities. I just don't forgive you once at your baptism, then leave you to your devices, and if you do something wrong, maybe I'll be merciful, maybe I won't, but you messed up. Every single time, no matter what we do, no matter how bad it is, for how long, it doesn't make any difference. I think people all that, it's just not that easy. It is that easy for you. It wasn't that easy for our Lord Jesus Christ. Why he was spat upon, beaten, crown of thorns, crucified, all those things. It wasn't easy for him. He did that, so it is easy for us. All he asked for is our faith and obedience. Penance is a continuity of the foot washing. "I made you all clean, but not all of you." Think about that one for a second. Just because you come in here and you do this, you do that and everything, and you say the words and you do what you're supposed to do, if it's not in here, or if you leave this place and don't live a life that's commensurate with what you say you believe, that can apply to us. That can apply to us. Oh, you receive the Eucharist and you do this, but you're not properly disposed to receive the Eucharist. then you, as the reading said today, in this place, you eat and drink judgment upon yourself. If you're not, you need to, as the reading said, prove yourself. This is the continuity of the foot washing. It's not a matter of beat yourself up if you're not good, if you're not clean. It's run back in there or wherever that there is a confessor, and you confess and you are absolved. That's it. That's all you need to do to fix this. Then you are clean. But don't presume that you're all clean. Now you're all washed. He washed Judas' feet too. Judas is burning for eternity in hell. So getting your feet washed by Jesus doesn't do anything if you're a betrayal. If you sell him out, that's the truth that we have to appreciate. All of these things, all these continuities, the incarnation, the Eucharist, the penance, all of them are possible because of the fiat of the Blessed Virgin Mary. A lot of people don't think about it in those terms. It should be focused on Jesus. Our Blessed Mother wants us to focus on her Son. It's all to Jesus through Mary. When everybody ain't even looking for Jesus, they don't get, you know, the shepherds, the wise men, never say, and they found Jesus. They always find Jesus at his mother. We don't have any of these things if it wasn't for the fiat of the Blessed Virgin Mary. When you receive the host, I said, you receive that same incarnate Lord that was born in the manger in Bethlehem. That Lord was born in the manger of Bethlehem because our Blessed Mother said, be it unto me according to thy word. Okay, she gave her fiat and our Lord Jesus Christ was born. He didn't have a body for that. He didn't have a body. He couldn't get hungry. He couldn't weep. He could not suffer. He could not die. She allowed that to happen. When you receive the Eucharist, you're receiving the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where did the Lord get the flesh that hung on the cross? From the Blessed Virgin Mary and her alone. You look at a crucifix. That's the Lord Jesus hanging there. Yes, in the flesh that he received from the Blessed Virgin Mary. That is how important she is to us. This is the reality of things. Again, not, oh, Mary did a lot of good things back in the day. Mary continues to do a lot of good things for us. It's called intercession. Okay, this is who she is. This isn't me because I have a Marian devotion, as is pretty well known. St. Jerome, commenting on Psalm number 67, another verse in there, the earth has yielded her fruit. The whole psalm, and it's short, the whole psalm speaks of the blessings that we receive from God, and that the whole world should remember those blessings. Not just the people of Israel, but the whole world should be presented those blessings. St. Jerome says that verse that says, the earth has yielded her fruit, you have to integrate that with the incarnation. I quote from him, the Lord from a handmaid, God from man, Son from the mother, fruit from the earth. This is what the psalmist was talking about. You know, we can lose sight of the fact you're reading a prayer and the fruit of the earth. Oh, that must be the blessings that when I eat. I know. It's the incarnation. Our Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven and he dwells among us through the portal from heaven, which is the Blessed Virgin Mother. So this integration that we have between what was done in the past and what continues in this day is the plan of salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And part of the plan of salvation that we participate with him in that sacrifice, not just do some dramatic reenactment of the Lord's Supper once a week. The day that we celebrate today is a day of living faith. A living faith, not a faith of words, not just a faith of rules, not just a faith of a philosophy to live by, but a faith that centers upon a person, the God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ, a person who gave himself completely for us on the cross, voluntarily, and who has instituted this sacrament of the Lord's Supper, in which we are not merely to remember what he did for us, but to actually participate in it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.